I join you?
Sorry, I hope you don't mind. I've brought you a drink.
You bought me a what?
A drink. A gin and tonic. For you.
Well, what would you go and do that for?
Well, you were sitting over here and you finished your own drink ages ago, so I thought...
Look, do I look like I need your charity?
No, of course not.
I mean, do I look like I need your pity?
Sorry, I'll take it away again.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh. What's your name?
Andy.
Well, cheers, Andy. Oh. Oh, don't mark me. Oh, my temper's filthy. Oh, I'm in a rotten mood.
You were gloomy the last time I saw you too.
Hey, what last time?
Oh, must have been three, no, 4 years ago. I saw you in here, at this same table. Do you remember you were here night after night? I brought you drinks back then too.
No, oh, not ringing any bells, Chuck, I'm afraid.
You used to wear a long fake fur coat.
Hey?
With stripes.
No. No, sorry, lovey. 3 or 4 years ago. Oh, might as well be 100 years. Or on the moon or summit. Oh, my memory's shot. My mind is addled. And my tights are laddered.
Iris. Your name is Iris.
Oh. Hey, well, you better take a pew then.
I met you just before I met Ian.
Ian? Who's Ian when he's at home?
No, it doesn't matter now, but back then, when we were sitting here drinking together, you gave me a proper pep talk about fellas and that. You said, get out there and find him, because he's out there waiting for you somewhere, the fella of your dreams. You've got to keep on holding out hope for Mr. Future Husband.
I said that?
Yes, and you were right. I met Ian and everything was amazing. And I wanted to tell you, Iris, you were right. At the start, anyway, it was like I'd met the
fella of your dreams. Yes, I see. Well, bully for you. You know, I can't remember any of this, but I'm pleased for you, lovey. Did it all go tits up?
Actually, yes.
I thought so. Quite recently, too, eh? You've got that look about you of the recently disillusioned.
I want to be illusioned again.
Well, maybe that's why you've run into me again.
But you said, when I saw you here, you said you were waiting for someone. You said you were looking for your friend.
Well, I would have, wouldn't I? That's what I were doing. What I am doing.
You said you'd been coming to Stella's bar every night for years, sitting at the same table, waiting for the man.
I wasn't waiting for the man of my dreams, if that's what you're thinking. Oh, he beggared off a long time ago. But it was a friend I was looking for. Yes, that's right. I came here on and off for decades, going right back in time, sitting in the corner, keeping a low profile, taking delicate ladylike sips of me G&T.
And did he ever turn up? Did you find your friend?
Oh, yes. He turned up a while ago now. He came walking in, just like I knew he would one day. Oh. Blooming thing.
You can't light that in here. It's no smoking. We'll have to stand outside.
Oh, this isn't a cigarette lighter, Chuck. Though I admit, it does look like one. Oh, and I'm gagging for a fag. But no, this is my flashback device.
Your what?
When the blue flame comes out, it makes a sound like a harp, and everything goes all swimmy.
This.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Oh, let me see. Dubonnet and Ice, please. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a filthy night. Rotten play, rotten review to write. Plus, I'm soaked to the skin.
Never mind that, sir. Welcome to Stella's.
Oh, it's a rather nice little place here, isn't it?
We like it, sir.
You're well tucked away. Never seen this place before.
Well, we're more for what you might call the select crowd.
So I can see.
You can relax here, forget the cares of the world.
I'm not sure about that. Just a few minutes' respite from my busy schedule would be... Sorry, can I help you, madam?
Oh, it's you, isn't it? Oh, it really is.
I'm not sure who you think you're addressing.
Oh, I knew it. I knew you'd turn up one day. Oh, it had to happen. Oh, hey, hey.
Oh, dear. Hello, barman.
More drinks. What's that muck you've got there? Ooh, let's have a proper drink. Gin or mojitos. Ooh, we've got a lot to celebrate.
Look, my dear, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but
oh, you haven't changed a bit, have you, lovey? Not in the slightest. I mean, obviously, you've changed a lot. Well, for one thing, you don't look anything like you used to do. And you're 5 feet 10 inches, at least.
6 foot 2, actually.
Oh, a big strapping fella. Oh, but I'd recognise you anywhere, Chuck, in any reality.
I really am very sorry, but I've got no idea who you are.
I'm your lovely old Auntie Iris. And I've been waiting here, coming back every night over all these years, just thinking about what it would be like to see you again.
I'm very sorry, my dear. Is there someone with you?
Oh, it's going to be fabulous now I've found you again. Oh, we're going to have the time of our lives.
I am not who you think I am, I'm afraid.
Oh, you are.
If you'll excuse me.
Oh, no. Don't you turn your back on me. How could you forget... Garcon, more drinks. More drinks for me and my old friend, Panda.
I don't need another drink. I'll just finish my Dubonnet and leave.
No, you can't. Oh, please. Don't leave me again.
Good night, madam. Not today, thank you.
Look, and I'm not trying to hassle you.
Then shove off, will you? I don't relish being harangued by bag ladies on the streets of Soho.
Bag lady?
Goodbye, madame.
Oh, no, wait, please. Lovey, wait.
I'm clearly not who you think I am.
Then who are you?
My name is Arthur Christmas Bayer.
Not Panda, then?
Of course I'm not called Panda. Why would I be?
Well, then, I'm sorry, Mr. Bayer. Wait, did you say bear?
B-A-Y-E-R. Bear.
Bear?
Bear!
Arthur Bear!
Oh, I've had enough of this. I'm going home. Now, go away!
Ooh, Bloomsbury. Very nice. Is this where your place is, lovey?
That's none of your business.
Oh, but it is. It's just the kind of place my little friend would have loved to have lived in. In fact, he often talked about it. He'd daydream about having a lovely little pied-à-terre near the British Museum with views of all the rooftops of Bloomsbury.
How very interesting. Here, look, I don't have much. How much do you want?
I beg your pardon?
How much will it take for you just to leave me alone?
I don't want your flaming money.
There's clearly been some ghastly mix-up.
Mix-up?
You seem to be under the impression that I require the dubious services of a good-time girl well past her expiry date.
Oh.
And frankly, nothing could be further from the truth.
Oh, I've never been so insulted.
I have here a £10 note.
You can stuff your £10 note.
It's all I've got. Take it or leave it.
I tell you what. buy me another drink with it. Come on, there's a pub opposite the British Museum. We can find a cosy nook and
certainly not. I wouldn't sit in a cosy nook with you if my life depended upon it. Now go on, hop it, before I call the police.
Panda, oh please, come back. Panda!
It's Bear!
She's been dogging my footsteps for several days, doorstepping me, standing behind me in the deli queue at Waitrose, calling Yoo-hoo at me from across the road. Who the devil is she? What ungodly thing does she want from me? I can't write. Not even here. I've got commissions, deadlines, and at least four terribly avant-garde shows that I need to write about. Then there's my essay due for Severity, the most important critical journal in the land, and my most prestigious commission ever. And I can't settle to it. I can't concentrate. All I can do is sit here in the reading room at the British Library and scribble gibberish like this about the mad woman who won't leave me alone, the mad bag lady I've started seeing wherever I go. Oh, goodness, no. It can't be. Oh, God, she's coming over. Just go away, please.
Don't worry. I'm only pretending to be a librarian. How you diddling, Chuck?
Can't you please just leave me alone?
Oh, you look a bit peaky. Are you sure you're feeling okay?
It's you horrible woman. You're haunting me.
Please.
Oh, get out of it.
Hang on, don't push. Oops-a-daisy.
Now look what you've done.
It's all right. It won't take me long to pick it up.
Give me that and that.
There's no need to be nasty, Mr. Bear. I'm only trying to help.
Trying to help you? Since you've turned up, my life's been a living hell. I can't write, I can't settle, not even here.
Ooh. Well, I suppose I do create a bit of a stir, don't I?
Just give me my things, please.
I didn't do it on purpose.
And that one, my notebook, give it to me.
Well, it doesn't call for rudeness. I mean, I'm only trying
I don't care what you only are. I don't care for you in the slightest. Oh. Frankly, I'll be glad if I never clap eyes on you again.
Oh, dear. That didn't go well, did it?
Shh.
Oh, shush yourself!
That's awful. Had he gone daft or something?
Light me up, would you, lovey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, it was just horrible. My very best pal in all the world was denying all knowledge of me. I mean, years had gone by, years and years. And naturally, well, we both changed. You see, when you have that bond, that wonderful kind of bond in the first place...
You think nothing can ever break it. You think nothing can tear you apart in the whole wide world.
Oh, listen to me. Selfishly reminiscing when there's you being all upset about your fella.
No, it's good. Thinking about something else. So, what did you do? Did you give up after that blow-up in the library?
Give up? What, me? Iris Wildtime, give up?
You didn't?
Nearly, if I'm honest. Oh, I did feel despondent after that. And I was starting to wonder, not unnaturally, about my own memories. I mean, what if he'd been right? What if I was mistaken? What if I'd got it all wrong?
But you were so sure it was your friend.
Yes, but he was so different, you see, Andy. He changed so much. I mean, he used to have these little ears.
His ears changed?
Everything had. Now he was 6'2", when he used to be just 10 inches.
Just?
Tall. 10 inches tall.
I don't get you.
See? Maybe I've got it all wrong. Maybe he was right and I was a silly, mad, daft bag lady, addled and not fit to be let out.
Did you carry on following him then?
That I did. And I must admit, I'd done something rather clever, you see. I slipped something inside his notebook when I knocked everything onto the floor. Something to remind him. I was sure it would work. Oh. Come on. Let's get back inside the bar. This rain's going right down the back of my neck.
Same again.
What a very excellent idea, young man. Now, let me tell you how I saw him next. I didn't have to try very hard to track him down. I made that suggestion about the nice pub opposite the British Museum, you see. Mm. It worked on him like a subliminal message sort of thing. So, it was that very evening that I toddled over there and sure enough, there he was, sitting in the window with his notebook, staring at his papers.
Ah, good. You're here.
I was just passing outside and I saw you sitting there.
Don't flannel me, woman. Sit down.
What? You want me to sit here?
I think we need to have a little chat, Miss Wildtime.
Work? Don't you sound severe?
This morning, in the library, when you picked up my books for me, you knocked them on the floor on purpose, didn't you?
Would I?
Afterwards, something niggled at me. A memory of something. From a story. I had to think for a while, and eventually, it came to me. Casting the Runes by M.R. James.
That old Nelly! What about him?
In the story, the evil old sorcerer bumps the dashing young hero's books to the floor in the reading room of the British Library and slips something in between the pages. A runic curse of which he will never be rid. A slip of paper that will lead to his ultimate destruction.
Are you saying you think I'd pop a voodoo thingy in the pages of your notebook? You're my best friend, Panda Lovey.
It's bear. And yes, that is precisely what I'm saying. Oh, I hardly dared look inside the pages of my books. I was filled with this terrible dread.
Possibly overreacting a bit, Pet.
You had slid it surreptitiously inside the pages of my journal. In that fleeting few seconds when my book was in your hands.
Surreptitiously? Woohoo! That's easy for you to say.
The runic curse.
Runic curse my arse! It were nothing of the sort.
But perhaps it was something just as dreadful.
I hardly think so.
A Polaroid snap. A bit faded and tatty, not unlike its subject.
What are you talking about? That's a lovely old photo, is that?
Christmas Eve, 1926. To my darling Panda with all my love and hugs. From Iris Wildtime forever, kiss, kiss, kiss.
All right. So what? So what if I did slip it inside your precious journal? What's wrong with that? It isn't voodoo. It's not a curse.
Then what is it? It's an out-of-focus photograph of a blousy old bag with all her makeup smeared, waving a bottle of baby sham in one hand and a stuffed panda bear in the other.
Not a bear. He wasn't a bear. If there was one thing Panda never was, it was a bear.
Why would you even give me this?
To remind you. I was trying to remind you. Don't you see?
I wasn't even born in 1926, and neither were you. How can this be a picture of 1926? I'm not even sure they had baby sham in 1926. And why is there a double-decker bus in the background?
All right, I give in. I was wrong. This was all a horrible mistake. I thought you were someone and you're not. I thought I'd found him, but I haven't. I'll go. I'll leave you alone.
Wait, I haven't finished asking you my questions yet.
Give me my picture back. And I promise, I'll leave you alone.
I said I haven't finished yet. Sit down.
Why should I? You're not Panda. You never were. I was wrong.
Who is Panda, exactly?
Well, he was a damn sight nicer than you, for starters, Chuck. He was a gentleman. a bon viveur. He was a ladies' man too. A romantic, witty, brave little soul. He was a hero, a gymnast and a man of discernment and sophistication. He was my companion on many adventures throughout time and space and all across the multiverse. Oh, we had a grand old time. And then one day in the midst of everything, I lost him. I looked away for a second and he was gone.
I see.
Well, aren't you going to laugh? Aren't you going to tell me I'm crackers? Ever since I clapped eyes on you, you've been telling me I'm a crazy old bag lady. So, what do you think now, eh? When I tell you I once went racketing about through time and space with a tiny panda who could talk. A toy panda who was the most wonderful person I ever met in my life.
I'm not sure what I think.
I wish I'd never shown you that photo.
The thing is, Iris, when I looked at this silly picture, I don't know, I felt something.
Oh, yes?
I think I remembered something.
No, you're just taking the mickey. You hog panda, you never were. How could you have been? That must have been mad. Now, if you will, excuse me.
No, wait.
Excuse me, sorry. No, you had your chance, Mr. Bayer. I can see I've been wasting my time. Oh, excuse me. Cheerio, Chuck.
Iris, please, hold on.
Look here. I don't want chasing through the streets of Bloomsbury all night.
Just hear me out.
You can't go chasing women around like this. I'll call for help. I'll give you a punch up the ooter.
There. That's what he used to say.
Who?
Panda.
Panda?
Didn't he? That's the kind of thing he used to say.
What would you know?
I'll give you a punch up the hooter.
Don't you go making it worse. You sound like him and something about your expression, but you're not him.
I need to understand this. I seem to remember.
There's something peculiar going on. Possibly, maybe, the timelines are getting tangled up.
What?
Or we're in another dimension or something of that sort, or alternative realities. That's probably it.
That doesn't leave me any the wiser.
It's all the explanation I have. I'm sorry. Moustache, I have a bus to catch.
Oh, don't leave me here. Not like this.
You've had your chance. I asked you nicely. I ran around after you for days trying to get your attention. But now I can see I was just doolally.
Please, stay and explain it to me. It's like you planted something in my head. Something I never even knew was there.
Well, I'm sorry. I should never have bothered.
Iris, please, just slow down. Take a walk with me. You owe me that much.
I don't owe you anything, Buster. It was a case of mistaken identity. No. End of!
No, there's something more.
Look, I admit, I was a bit overzealous, perhaps over the top. The thing is, I've not been myself lately. Not for a while.
I think I'm getting to know the feeling.
Whoa! Oopsie-daisy. Ooh, how many have you had?
Just one or two while I was waiting for you.
Oh, come on now. I think you should have a little sit down, lovey. Come on, there you go. That's it. Right, there you go. Here now. Oh, it's a lovely little oasis, this square. I used to come here a lot when I lived down this way in the 70s.
I've been here most of my life. I was a student here, and like I say, the British Museum, the bookshops, the history, it's the centre of the whole universe.
your universe, maybe. And you're a writer, are you, lovey?
A critic. I spent years watching other people's plays and reading other people's books, looking at other people's pictures. It's what I do.
I bet you've got a sharp tongue, eh? I bet you give 'em what for.
Standards have to be met. If people are going to give their attention to plays and books and art, then it must be worth their while. I've a very fine ear and an excellent eye.
Sometimes you really do sound like Pandy, you know. Yeah. He was forever banging on about how he did reviews for this or that fancy newspaper. He went to see opera and ballet and things for nowt. He used to blag free tickets all the time.
Blag?
But I never saw a single one of his reviews anywhere. Sometimes I used to think he'd made it all up. I used to say, come on, let me see all your clippings then. Let me read something you've written. All of a sudden, he'd come over all shy.
And it's true. The critic can be rather coy about his own work coming under scrutiny.
I don't have much time for reviewers myself. I once popped over to a meta-dimension where I existed only as a work of fiction, and I was a bit surprised. Some of the things I've read about myself. Oh, it doesn't do to read your own press.
Oh, I keep a scrapbook of everything I've ever written.
Oh, help. You're not going to go fetching it out for me to read, are you?
Well, not if you don't want me to.
Like I say, I've got a bus to catch. I'd rather be dashing headlong into the maelstrom of space and time rather than sitting about reading bits of old newspapers.
Yes, I can understand that. And it's a bus, you say, that you, travel the universe in?
The number 22 to Putney Common.
Funny. I wrote stories, you know.
Did you, Chuck? Oh, look at the time.
It's all right. I'm not going to foist them on you. Anyway, I've stopped writing them a long time ago. I threw them out.
Why was that?
They were no good. They were silly, trivial, whimsical. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't even have proper endings.
Oh, dear. That's the kind of thing I find very frustrating.
It was a long time ago, but I did try. And I can only vaguely remember, but they were about travelling about in a double-decker bus. Space and time and so on.
Were they really?
You know how it is. Childish enthusiasms. I would never have made it as a writer. It was better to throw them out and give it all up before anyone could see them and ridicule me for wasting my time. I wanted to write serious work, really serious work.
To be fair, I like the sound of the stories about the time-travelling bus.
You're almost like her, the woman on the bus in my stories.
There's only one Irish Wild Time.
I wish I could remember better, but it was over 20 years ago. Chucked my stories out and they've faded from my head.
Faded?
But there was a panda.
There still is. Somewhere out there. I hope. The thing is, Mr. Bear, I spent years in the company of a small panda who thought he was an art critic. And you, my snooty chum, are an art critic who thinks that once upon a time he imagined he was a panda.
I think perhaps you're right.
I usually am. Speaking of which, time I was on my way.
Must you?
Always. Timelines, Mr. Bear. Tangled what's-its.
Now you're just talking nonsense.
Why not come with me and find out how nonsensical it is?
Are you inviting me on your travels?
Well, you're not exactly panda, but maybe you'll do. What do you think, Mr. Bear?
I'm not sure. I'd need some time to think about it.
Think about it?
I can't just get up and go.
Oh, but you can. I did. Panda did. And these invitations don't come around that often.
I appreciate that. Just give me a day or two. I've got deadlines. I'd have to pack. Oh,
maybe your life here is enough for you, Mr. Bear. Besides, you don't actually think that bus exists, do you?
I don't know. Why? Wait, have you been having me on?
What do you think?
You were lying to me, making the whole thing up.
an old drunk woman with a panda on a bus in space and time. Did you ever really believe it could be real?
I suppose I thought... I mean, for a moment there, I...
Ha! Sure, you haven't lost your imagination after all. You can still get back to it.
What are you talking about?
Write your stories, Mr. Bayer, for your own sake, and for my sake too, come to think of it.
Where are you going?
I'm off to find a night bus.
Not the number 22 to Putney Common.
I wish. I really do, Mr. Bayer. Good night.
Oh, just you wait and see, Iris. I'll make it all come true, I promise. I'll bring it all to life. For you, for us. I'll start writing this very night. Yes, I'm gonna write the story of all time. It's gonna be bigger than Dickens.
So, that was that. I sent him off happy. He was filled with a new sense of purpose and everything. It was a good night's work.
That was really kind of you.
Kind? No.
It was. He was snippy with you every time you met him.
Ah, well, that's true enough. People can be quite awful to me, you know. I don't know what it is about me that sets them on edge. Oh, there's some funny people about.
You took the time to talk to him. You made him realise about his stories and stuff.
Hopefully he's scribbling away right now, bringing me and the bus and panda to life.
I like how you had him on for a while, thinking it was all true.
Yes. Yes. I can be pretty convincing when I want.
And it's such outlandish stuff, buses in space and that.
You don't know the half of it.
Don't I?
No one does. Not even me. So... come on, Andy, lovey. Would you fancy it?
What, another drink?
Boy, it's my round next. No. I meant, you know, travelling all of space and time in a double-decker bus.
If it was even the tiniest bit true, I'd be in there like a shot.
You would you?
You bet.
Even if it gets a little dangerous?
I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. So, yeah, why not?
Right. Come on then, lovey.
I'm sorry.
We haven't a moment to lose. Get your little coat on, finish your gin.
What? Why, where are we going?
I haven't got the faintest idea. But you know what? I think you're going to love it. Hey!
But I got you, and I got a record playing on the radio. Got no loving, but I got time. I see you up ahead, I'm coming up behind. Whoa, whoa. Baby, you're my A side. Let's flip it to the B side. Play that song, it makes me explode. When I'm driving up that B road. Love is in the morning, just one step from heaven. Falling for your snake hips eyes. Cause baby, you're my A-side. Baby, you're my A-side. Ain't got no stories, not much to prove. But I got my needle and my baby's got the groove. So play that record on MTV. Cause this is the song that's gonna bring you back to me. Oh, oh, oh. Baby, you're my A-side. Let's flip it to the B-side. Play that song, it makes me explode. When I'm driving up that B road. Love is in the morning, just one step from heaven. Falling for your snake hip thighs. Cause baby, you're my A-side. our love apart. So baby, let's make a diamond groove in the sun. My love for you is like a record number one. Baby, I'm on A side. Let's flip it to the B side. When I'm driving up that B road.
Good luck, studio.
Yeah, do you like a bit of singing? Yes,
yeah, I like a bit of killing. Yeah, you've never seen anything like
it. Half a trout.
I wish I had a camera. Okay, I've got so shots of Nick that I would kill to put up on Twitter.
Right.
Hold on to your horses.
It's a Dave Allen sketch, isn't it? The basement is downstairs. This is the kitchen.
Yes.
Ethereal whispers. I love it.
Oh, mind those Onyx Nubians.
The what?
Nubians, lovely Nubians.
From Namibia?
That's the one.
So forlorn, so lost.
Prithee! Oh, sorry.
Oh, I gave myself a shock.
Just in case you don't know how that word is pronounced.
Thank you, thanks.
David Warner.
Get your shopping and your fortune told. Hand over your fish fingers and see the future. Can I just answer? Why ever hand over your fish fingers? Don't I want to? What do I buy? Am I paying with fish fingers? Doesn't make sense. We'll come back to that.
You're not going to be there, you go.
If you're thinking of buying a muffin, why not buy a Ferguson's muffin? It's 7 for the price of 9.
We want you, Iris Wildthyme. Our destiny depends on you. Oh, and then I faint.
Sorry.
Oh, she's definitely faked. She's not faking.
Not well.
If you're coming to find out what to eat for Christmas next year, listen to Cassie. She'll tell you what you're going to eat.
Oh, no, now. You... Oh.
You've won her.
Oh.
This is going well.
Yes.
Ferguson's, we're getting there. We put the penny back in your pocket and not down your leg.
So many straight lines. Stop coughing, you fool, or I'll have to slap you.
Cassie is the predictor. Be there or be somewhere else.
Didn't I just do something awfully clever?
I don't know, because I can't turn the page. I'll let you know in a minute.
Are we still in this scene?
I don't know, lovey, where I am. I've gone off. Here we go.
Ferguson's. Come and shop at Ferguson's. We're the only shop for miles. Either shop at Ferguson's or starve in a ditch.
Does anyone want to do some sinister quacking?
How do you make quacking sinister?
I don't know. Quack. I only need one person to do this. Who was that?
Me.
Nick, do some sinister quacking, please.
You should be a voice artist.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, no, sorry, I decided to start on 100. I've had a dead too quick.
Come on.
I'm ready. Here, love, have some lemonade. Wash it down.
Chloe! Iris, she can't breathe.
Try the Heimlich remover.
The what?
Maneuver.
The Heimlich maneuver?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just make noises, really.
That's wonderful.
Hope that they'll be in the right place at the right time. I'll shut up now.
Reggie Kane.
Yeah, that's me.
My name is Captain...
Who's asking?
Oh, well, my name is Captain...
Shall we start again?
I'm very eager.
Can't you smell it? The faintest whiff of almonds.
I I thought you were downwind of me. I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply.
No. I'm sorry. It's no. It's only right you should get to the bottom of things. I'll help in any way I can. Just don't diss the bacon.
Rhubarb, 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 rhubarb.
But George, I never dreamed that this might happen.
Rhubarb, 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 rhubarb.
No, of course, dear. Whatever you think is best.
Rhubarb.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
I'm just loving all the support I'm getting from the rhubarbs and the ooze and the art.
I was going to say,
I'm trying to keep a straight face here. It's gorgeous. I'm loving it.
Yes.
Darling, we were married briefly and I loved it.
She's remarried
now.
You've
got a younger man.
Yes. Yes, I've gone for a toy boy.
Yes.
Always the way.
Did you find
your
wheel?
Sorry, I turned the page over and thought I could remember the line, but then realised I couldn't.
Lady Fothergill, perhaps we could use your drawing room again, lovey.
With a drink in their hand.
Funny, we both pissed.
As if I wasn't going to recognise him because of a woolen mask.
It's got my name sewed in the back as well.
Anaphylactic?
Yes.
I love her work. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I am looking for a very special lady in the audience.
Right, I now have alien poker players.
Oh, hold on, just let me check that in my repertoire.
I saw it on your spotlight.
Damn. I always exaggerate, though. That one-handed pogo stick thing, it's not true.
No.
Wonderful. Now, would you care to stand in this spot here? Right under the 6,000-ton weight. No, I'm only kidding, ladies and gentlemen.
I think people are running out of things to say.
I still don't get it. Oh, we need shovey shovey, don't we?
Oh, shovey shovey! Sorry, forgot about shovey shovey.
Shovey shovey. Clench this rose between your cheeks. On your face, madam, on your face.
Are you happy, sweetie?
Mm-hmm. I'm delirious.
It's that time of day, honey.
Anyway, I was thinking we should probably head back to the bus and then on to the next location, wherever that might be.
That's a sight for sore eyes, Captain. Sorry.
No, I'm just joining in.
Oh, were you acting? Sorry, I just can't tell anymore. Right.
Anyway, I was thinking we should probably
head back to the bus. Come on, then. Oh, and bring that little rubber ducky with you.
Take your hands off me.
Coochie, coochie, coochie. Who's a cutie pie, then? Go on, give us a kiss.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my beautiful assistant. That's her name. Wonderful. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on to your Wednesdays.
Oh, it's this one. Oh, right.
But we don't have any lines.
Listen to me, Captain. Don't break eye contact. No sudden movements.
Sorry.
I can't do it like that again.
Did we get that?
No, I gave my all then, love.
Oh, no.
And you weren't ready.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, wacky thump.
194. Oh, God, try and listen, Jeff. Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. Here it comes.
Come on, Turner, love. Give a girl a hand. No, not that one.
No.
So are you doing both voices?
Yes.
Okay, brilliant, okay. I knew you were, I just didn't know if you were doing them right now.
Oh, yeah, do it all at once. Me, I'm not coming back.
She's having a laugh. Professional.
We'll be gentle and tender.
Tender?
Won't we, darling, sweetie peach?
I'll do my best.
And I love your hair.
Thank you. See that, Scott? They can see it in China.
You think your hair is obvious? Hello? Right.
Good heavens!
I'm turning a page. And it's stuck together. Right, here we go.
Marvellous hologram. Look at it.
Is it?
No, it's you.
I was going to say, I like that line. Told you.
Hey, look, I have such trust in your writing, Scott, that I don't need to, gaze an eye over it. I don't need to read it.
There better be a bloody good bar in here.
There isn't.
They say its skin was buried in this tomb on early ground.
Sorry. Early ground?
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
He's corpsed himself. Oh, Terence! Ah! Oh! Sorry, what am I looking at? I just suddenly looked. I've just worn my talent up. Not for much longer.
Sweetie.
It's just tight jeans.
Yes, I'm going to write the story of all time. It's going to be bigger than Dickens. It's going to be bigger than Thackeray.
It's a love... I was still acting, you know, Mr. Hancock.
Absolute fiasco.